And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us on the program. And we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And we encourage you to check out our archives at the radio show's page, where you can listen to the past, unbelievably, is it 3.5 years? Wow. That we've been doing this program. You can hear all of our guests that we've had on the program, including our guest today. We'll also be talking later on in the program with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor, astronomical and astrological assignment editor, as we find out what's going on as we head towards Easter and Mother's Day and all of the other wonderful events that are happening. We encourage you to email us, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And also, if you have any comments or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. richard@richarddugan.com is the place where you want to send that information. Well, today we're going to delve a little bit more into our health and well-being. Our guest today is the author of Get Well, Even When You've Been Told You Can't. It's Simple Steps for Finding Perfect Healing Using Methods Outside of Conventional Medicine. And that seems to be the norm for today, that folks are, I don't want to say they're necessarily fed up with orthodox medicine. What they're finding is it's not serving them in the way that they've been told that it was supposed to. So they're, and then I think this is the big plus, and Sandy will share with us her insights as well, that they're finding that alternative forms of medicine, other modalities, are serving them better. Whether they're, and I may be wrong about this, Sandy, whether they're FDA approved or not, if they're working for you, what difference does it make? The Chinese didn't run all of their medical history through the FDA to get it approved, and they know that it works, right? Welcome to our program.
And thank you very much, Richard. I'm delighted to be here. And much of those things the Chinese used were around for 5,000 years.
So. Yeah, I figure if it passes that tiny little litmus test, I think it's good to go.
I think so, too.
I remember hearing not too long ago there was a report out of the news that referred to the banning of a supplement called L-tryptophan because 400 people had died from it. Now, I don't want to make light of the 400 people, but we're talking 400 people globally. But the U.S. decided we're not going to allow that to be distributed in the United States. It turns out the batch came, they knew where it came from. All 400 cases were from a batch that came from a plant in Japan. And no disrespect to Japan, but they knew where it came from. So if you know where the problem is and they've solved the problem, why can't we utilize these kinds of things? And that's, I think, where maybe our medical system has maybe gone a little bit awry. But you have found ways in which to provide yourself, Sandy, as well as our guests, our listeners, with other ways of, if you will, doing things, of healing themselves. And that's really what they do, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think the biggest difference between conventional medicine and alternative forms is that conventional medicine has the tendency to attack the disease itself, whereas many of the alternative forms help the body heal. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally different strategy. One reinforces the body so that the body can do the work it was designed to do, and the other goes in and does it for you. And it's sort of funny. It's like if you were a baseball player and you bench, you know, one of your better players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, when he gets called up to bat, he just doesn't have the strength, he doesn't have the energy, he's forgotten the stuff. It's the same with the immune system. I mean, if we totally and completely rely on drugs for everything, when you really need your immune system, like for many of these very, very resistant strains of viruses and things we have today, it can't do its job because it's gotten so lazy.
So. Yeah.
We really have a health crisis in this country that I think most people aren't aware of, but I think intuitively they're doing something about.
Well, let me have you define a couple of terms, and one of them, one of the words, is right in the title of your book. How do you define well, being well, getting well, and maybe in conjunction with that you might also elaborate on healing and the definitions as you see them?
Well, what wonderful questions. I've never been asked those two, actually, if you can imagine. So that's interesting. Well, healing, I believe, comes in various forms. You can actually heal your life and die.
Okay.
You can heal on so many levels. You can heal emotionally. You can heal spiritually. And certainly you can heal physically. But you can heal in two of those and still pass on, you know. Getting well, I think a personal sense of wellness for someone is their own definition of what that is. To me, being well is having energy, being robust, not having aches and pains and things that are wrong with me, feeling fit, feeling happy, feeling free, feeling liberated from anything negative that my body might throw at me. And so not having anything get in the way of a happy, productive life. And I'll tell you what, I was saddled with a whole bunch of ugly things for many, many, many years, and being free of those has been rejuvenating and uplifting, if nothing else.
Now, was it more you understood where these conditions came from, or you found ways in which to heal them? Because, you know, we kind of mentioned the Chinese medicine a little while ago. A lot of people will look at their illness, their dis-ease, if you will, whatever it is, and they will try to look beyond that symptom for the cause. And it isn't always what we think it is. In other words, okay, I have a small little infection in a cuticle on my finger right now because I snipped my nail a little too tight and apparently the fingernail clipper wasn't clean. I didn't dip it in alcohol or something. But that is a sign of something else that might be an emotional or spiritual issue or mental issue that I need to deal with. And when I do, this thing is just going to go away. Or I have bad
knees.
Well,
of course, one of my heroes is Louise Hay. And mm-hmm. She wrote, I think, one of the books that everybody should have on their bookshelf, and that's You Can Heal Your Body. Louise Hay believes that there are emotional root causes to every illness or condition, and that your body is basically a messenger telling you where you need to change or modify or do. So that is clearly one element of healing. But it's deeper even than that on a physical level, because what you bring out about treating the symptoms, that's one of the faults, I feel, of conventional medicine, especially for chronic illness. Now, they do a great job for trauma, for emergency stuff, for, you know, orthopedic surgery. I mean, there are plastic surgery. There's a lot of things that nobody does better than conventional medicine in this country.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to chronic conditions, they really are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a tendency to treat the symptoms and not get to the root cause, exactly
right,
as you had pointed out.
Yeah.
So with me, what happened, I had the very first thing that really attacked me that was life-changing was rheumatoid arthritis, which came on with a vengeance for me in the early 80s. And I tried conventional medicine. Now, listen, you know, I'm not anti-allopathic care, and I did the route everybody does and went to the rheumatologists and had the best in the state helping me. But for 2 years, I realized that I truly wasn't getting better. My meds were just getting stronger.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, what am I doing? And the next step, because I truly wasn't improving, and they wanted to up the stuff a little more, and they were about to put me on methotrexate, which is a mild form of chemo. But my skin already looked 20 years older. My hair was falling out. I had no energy. I was swollen and stiff and in excruciating pain most of the time. So I was loaded with anti-inflammatories and taking tons of steroids and just doing all this stuff that was not good for my body. And now they wanted to add something to it that was going to hurt my liver. And I thought, what am I doing? I don't think they know what they're doing here. And I said, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out. And my husband at the time said to me, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but it's not that. And once, Richard, I opened up to where do I go, what do I do to be well, answers came.
Yeah.
And you just have to not be afraid to try them. And I tried everything. Everything that didn't destroy my body, I tried. Mm-hmm. And something that worked 10%, I kept it. And if something didn't work, I stopped it. And if something else worked and helped me another 15%, I continued that. So now I was better by 25%. And I kept doing that in sort of a cumulative, progressive way until I built a little regimen of care for myself that had me at about 90%. And over time, I realized what I was truly doing here is I was rebuilding my immune system. I was doing things in the alternative world for my body that helped my body become stronger on its own. Because there was a time when I didn't have rheumatoid arthritis, when I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if my body was that way once, there is no reason why it can't be that way again.
Exactly. Well, I went to an orthopedist not too long ago because of a condition in my right knee. They did an MRI, and they found that, well, I have a torn meniscus on both inner and outer and inner. And mm-hmm. they gave me the diagnosis and so forth. They said, well, you know, here's the situation, and it could heal on its own, though there's not a lot of blood flow there in that particular tissue. But what I liked what the orthopedist said to me was, he says, my philosophy is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're doing fairly well. You're on the mend. If I go in now and I repair that, you're going to be hurting and in therapy for 3 months. I said, okay, then let's not fix it if it ain't broke. And it's been fine ever since.
You kiss him?
Yes. kisses to the orthopedist.
Kiss. Now, there's a good man.
Yeah. I mean, why should he waste his time? I mean, he'd get paid by the insurance company anyway, but why should he waste his time on a condition that is basically on the mend? Now, and here's another thing, and this is now kind of sharing the difference between men and women. I'm sure that you sought out and encouraged advice from people to try to find answers, right?
Yes, I did. I asked for directions, Richard.
Yeah, whereas us guys, we like to find out stuff on our own. And I have to acknowledge that my wife told me about this particular supplement called glucosamine and chondroitin that's supposed mm-hmm. to be good for joints, and I'm actually researching it further to find some other things as well, to help. As you just stated, you didn't have rheumatoid arthritis at one point, and then you did. Well, then why can't you go back to when you didn't? I didn't mm-hmm. have sore, bad knees and feet before, and now I do. So there has to be a way to get back there again. It doesn't matter about age. And that's another thing we want to talk about as well as we continue talking with Sandy Cowan, the author of Get Well, Even When You've Been Told You Can't. And that's something else we'll get into as well. But guys like to find out this stuff themselves. So when I finally decided I was going to start taking this glucosamine and chondroitin, I knew that she had mentioned it to me before. I couldn't disavow any knowledge of her information. It's not like I discovered it on my own. So I acknowledged her for that. I said, you know, you had mentioned this before, and for some reason it was triggered again just recently. And so now I'm doing this. And it seems to be, you know, as we are talking here, it's only been like a week, but I'm actually experiencing some minor, slow results from that. And I know that will stay with me. Well, isn't that the point that we want this healing / health to stay? And so we have to, and we should have been doing this years ago, we have to maintain it, right?
That's right. And you know, Richard, there are so many ways to attack a problem in outside of the world of conventional medicine. I mean, you could consider acupuncture because mm-hmm. it helps stimulate circulation to areas. You could consider homeopathy. You'd be surprised. You know how we stub our toes all the time and sometimes break them and
these
little, and they hurt like the dickens.
Oh,
every time you hit a table hit your toe on a table leg or something, it's just dreadful. Well, just, you know, not but a year or two ago, I discovered how extraordinary some of these homeopathic remedies are for healing bones. And healing trauma like that, bruises and acute trauma with your limbs. And, oh, my golly, I mean, I went in and got x-rays and found a couple little breaks. And within almost no time, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, they were totally healed. because I was taking these little homeopathic remedies that looked like little sugar pills. So, you know, there are so many things we can do. And if we're just open to them and not afraid to try them and don't fall into the trap that so many people do when they approach the world of alternative medicine, and that is if they try one thing and it doesn't work, then they say, oh, none of this stuff works.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are so many modalities that they don't have a clue what works and what doesn't, because it depends on the body and the person's lifestyle and the particular circumstance and whether the method is good for that particular illness or injury or not.
The interesting irony is, Sandy,
it being open is really critical to good healing.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, being open. And isn't it interestingly ironic that that same person using traditional medicine will allow the physician to change the medication if it's not working, but they'll stay with the medication instead of saying, oh, this doesn't work. But they'll do that with the alternative medicine.
Right, right, right. Well, but you know, a lot of that staying in the original place is fear-based.
Yeah.
So what happens is when you get a bit of bad news, now, you know, the rheumatoid arthritis with me was just one of five incurable conditions that I was able to overcome. And when I use the word incurable, it kind of has quotes around it because that's according to conventional medicine.
Right.
And to me, if somebody can't cure it, why would you go to them for it?
Yeah.
So if they tell you, well, this is incurable or this you're going to be doing this for life, I don't want to keep going back and having them throw things at me and practice on me and try things. And when they know and I know, it's not going to really get any better. So leukemia was one, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, hyperthyroidism, you know, Graves' disease, and chronic allergies and upper respiratory stuff that I'd had for years and years. Many of those are autoimmune or immune deficiency conditions. And I think those are the areas where conventional medicine falls down the most.
Now, before all of these conditions manifested themselves, were you the type of person who would go to the physician and get shots or pills or medications for whatever ails you, or if you had the flu or what have you, you'd get the shot or you'd take antibiotics for this or that or the other? Or were you pretty healthy, health conscious?
No, I was the former. I lived a horrible lifestyle because I was ignorant. You know, I was very connected to conventional medicine totally. That's all I knew. And I lived on all kinds of drugs. I mean, I was going to a pulmonary specialist for years for my respiratory and allergy situation. And so every single day I took speed. I mean, I took theophylline to keep my bronchial tubes open. I took antihistamines every single day because I had allergies. I took cortisone derivatives and steroids constantly because I was continually getting sick. And I think that intense level of care for so many years, as well as a poor lifestyle, horrible stress in my personal and business life, all contributed. My body finally said, stop, stop, I can't take it anymore. And that's when I woke up at 3 a.m. with excruciating pain that started the whole cycle of RA. But you can't, you know, you'd never treat a car like that.
Yeah,
and what we do to our bodies is just astounding. Stress doesn't help,
right?
But it isn't the stress that kills us. It's how we react to stress that kills us.
Yes, yes. Now, I don't know how much television you watch, but I know you're aware of the pharmaceutical commercials on television, and I literally have to laugh when I watch them. Now, I had a discussion just the other day about this, and I had to acknowledge, okay, the side effects that they have to list in these commercials may happen to a very small percentage. But if I'm in that small percentage, I'd rather stick with the condition that I would be taking this medication for than have to deal with the side effects of the medication. I loved one guy who was supposed to take this heart medication for a murmur, what have you, and one of the side effects was a heart murmur. And I thought, what? So we've really gotten things twisted around considerably as far as our health and wellness are concerned. And I've even been hearing, you know, these reports about the levels of obesity that are now leading towards diabetes in children, childhood diabetes that didn't exist, what, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But you see, our doctors, God bless them, have done a poor job of educating us or empowering us to help ourselves. I mean, when I watch one of those commercials about gout.
Yes.
And the guy carries around the glass jar full of green liquid.
I think I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
And he says, for gout, you take this drug, and of course the side effects are just unbelievable. And do you know what he could do for the gout?
Stop.
And this is what destroys me. I mean, we have conditioned people to the quick fix, to the pill has to do it, to that sort of mindset. All they have to do is quit eating wheat products, red meat, and shellfish for about 3 or 4 days, and all those gout symptoms quiet down.
Yeah.
Now, I and shame on the doctor for not telling him that first.
Yeah.
Because very few people have gout so severely that diet modification won't help.
Yeah.
Then you look at the commercials that show now the tragic thing, Richard, is that they have the manufacturer who makes the little thing that you prick your finger, the blood reading thing for diabetics.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
And now they are taking the responsibility to say, you know, if you buy our product, we'll give you a little book that tells you how you can, you know, how diet might help and what you can do to help yourself. For God's sake, I know people who've been put on insulin before they were even educated about a low glycemic diet.
Wow.
So it is too sad. And once we realize what power our body has to do its own healing and how much power we have in terms of the choices we make, we can get well so much quicker, and we don't have the same reverence for our physicians that we used to. I think when it comes to critical care, I wouldn't go anyplace else.
Yeah.
But when it comes to routine care, you know, I listen with a jaundiced ear.
Yeah, I'm not going to take herbs and essential oils for a broken limb.
No.
It's still good stuff, but it's not going to reset and knit the bone back together like it should. And we're going to take a short break here, and we're talking with the author of Get Well Even When You're Told You Can't, Even When You've Been Told You Can't. Basically, it's simple steps for finding perfect healing and using methods outside of conventional medicine. My guest is the author, Sandy Cowan, and we're going to continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned. New Paradigms for a New World. We're taking a look at getting well, staying healthy, and doing all those good things with our special guest, Sandy Cowan, and her book, Getting Well. We'll talk more with her in just a moment. But right now, we're going to go to our AAA editor, Beth McDonald of BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, to find out about. Beth, the one word that came to mind as I was reading through some of the materials that we were going to talk about today, there's a word that many people don't know, especially probably the younger generation, but you probably know this word, that comes from a fairly famous book called Stranger in a Strange Land. And the word is grok.
Oh, yes. That's actually one of my sister's favorite words.
I love it, too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It is more than just assimilating or ingesting or incorporating. It becomes a part of every subatomic particle in your being.
Yeah, you own it, and it owns you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are. Now, we've just gone through this week as we're heading out of Mercury in retrograde.
Yes.
And this was a week of, I'll say, aha moments or epiphanies.
Yes. Yeah, this has been an absolutely astounding week. Since we met or spoke last week, I have since also spoken with some folks who are into Mayan astrology, and it was also, this past week was one of those rare moments where something sacred and special in Western astrology lined up with something sacred and special in Mayan astrology, which in my mind gave it all the more power. And I certainly saw that in clients and stuff and in the world this week. And so now we're kind of like breathing. To me, it reminds me of like the moments after childbirth where it's like, wow, look what I just did.
Yeah.
And boy, am I tired. And I'm ready for a snack.
I know the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're all in that mode of creating and producing, if you will, to use that word loosely.
Yes.
And now it's, I take it there's now time to pause, to rest.
Yes.
To take in what we have accomplished in this past period of time, whether it's the week or 10 days or 2 weeks.
Yes.
And our, even our lifetime for that matter, and
well,
sort of evaluate where we are and then where we want to go next.
Right. Well, actually, you know, where you want to go next, or for me, it's more about, you know, what the next right step is.
Ah.
I really kind of fall back on the agrarian calendar, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, by this point in the year, in the annual cycle, we've already kind of begun a lot of things, and the work we're doing towards the specific goals and objectives we set out, and at the new year, you know, our New Year's resolution, for
mm-hmm.
lack of a better word, you know, those seeds are we've planted them and they're starting to sprout now, and so it is about where do I want to go next and what's the next right action to take. Given what sprouted and what didn't and what needs tending to and what's doing just fine. And it's a period of kind of assessment, reflection, rest, and choosing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's the thing is that kind of cycle, because we've talked for quite a long time on this program.
Yes.
And it seems as though this is, well, they're all cyclical. These are all repeating. But it seems as though we're moving a little more rapidly. We're moving a little more. It seems like the perception is that time is moving even faster. And it's just unbelievable where we are today. It's like I've said before, when I turned 50, it's like, how did I get here? I was just 17.
Yeah, exactly. For me also, I can't, being a Gemini, you know, I go back and forth. I can't make up my mind. Are things happening faster, or is it simply that because we have to be so much more precise now, it just makes it a lot more real, and that kind of gives us less response time. You know, we kind of have to make more kind of snap decisions, it seems like, a lot, and our decisions carry a lot of weight.
Isn't that interesting? As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about that the other day in terms of, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago in my business here in broadcasting, you would produce something, or you would be given, the sales department would get a contract, they'd get it all taken care of, you'd get the order, you'd get the script, you'd record it, then you'd put it on cassette or reel-to-reel, you'd mail it out, and then maybe a week to 10 days later, they might hear it, and then phone back saying, we love it, we don't love it, or here are the changes, they fax over.
Which was hot new technology.
It was.
Yeah.
And then you do the revision, send out another revised version. Again, this is taking 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to complete the process until it was completed. Now it's not 2 to 3 weeks, it's 2 to 3 minutes.
Right, right. And once you hit send, you know, things happen really fast. And so we are in a different age,
and that's interesting. You use that term, a different age. I was going to actually think a new age, but a lot of people they have a problem with that terminology. But I also like REM's phrase from their one song. It's the end of the world as we know it. Well, the world as it existed 10 years ago doesn't.
Right.
We can't go back.
And through certain lenses, it's always the end of the world, and it's always the beginning of a new one.
Yeah.
You know, we have just this moment, each moment, and it does, again, to reiterate what I was saying earlier, it makes things a lot more real, a lot more real time. And the answer, the solutions then are still the same. You just be as mindfully and as lovingly present as you can be in every moment,
yeah,
and make it count.
Absolutely.
You know, make it count.
And especially as we're talking in this program about one's health, there is certainly
right.
the physical health, as our guest has gone through, the issues and challenges, but also there's mental and emotional and even spiritual health and well-being.
Right, and that has been a big factor lately. You know, there's been so much energy astrologically in the sign of Aries, and that rules the physical body. And so, you know, the spring
yeah.
is a time when a lot of health practitioners, a lot of chiropractors and acupuncturists put a renewed emphasis on preventative care and wellness. There's often, you know, very specific spring protocols, much like a spring cleaning for your home, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
where there's just certain things you do in the spring to ensure your health and longevity and so that you have, again, you can make the most of what you have.
And making the most of what we all have, if we are looking for some kind of support, guidance, or consultation, you provide that at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes.
And we'll talk again next week as we continue to progress. We will have departed the retrograde period, that time of, and I'm looking at it now as a time of observation.
Yes.
And so forth, into a new phase that we will talk about next Saturday.
Yes, and with an eye towards Mother's Day, you know, that's
yeah.
just off, not so far in the horizon, you
Absolutely.
Know, that's coming up.
Oh, once again, it's not weeks, it's minutes that
it's
things
minutes.
Are moving. All right, Beth McDonald, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. We'll be going back to our guest, Sandy Cohen, and getting well here on Tell Me Your Story.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, as we continue talking with our special guest, Sandy Cohen, and we're talking about getting well, staying fit. And it's not just the physical body. It's a whole package, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of these steps. Before we do, though, Sandy, I want to ask you, now you mentioned that you had five different conditions that you were dealing with. I'll refer to them as health challenges. Then, of
mm-hmm.
course, in your book, you refer to them as, you know, obviously they were all potential killers. They could have, should have died from all of them, but you didn't. Was that the combination of those or the sequence of those, was that the catalyst that drove you in this direction? I mean, because you said that your previous lifestyle was just horrendous, as you know, your own words. So is that what did it, or was there one specific event that really opened up your eyes and said, you know what, I have got to do something totally different?
It was pain.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think there's a greater motivator in the world than excruciating pain.
Wow.
So when, you know, I had lived with chronic allergies and upper respiratory things for 12, 13 years, took tons of drugs and just kept moving on, doing the same thing I'd always done and wondering why I wasn't getting any better, you know. But when my lifestyle and the stress levels and all those things finally caught up to me, and the RA, rheumatoid arthritis, attacked. It attacked in the form of something they called palindromic rheumatism because they didn't know what to call it. They were random, painful, excruciating attacks in a joint in the middle of the night, wake you out of a dead sleep.
Oh.
So first was my knee, and then about 2 weeks later was my hip. And the pain would be so horrible and so intense that I couldn't put any weight on it. I was immobile for 24 hours. And, you know, and you run for help. When you hurt that bad, you run for help. But I ran, like most people do, fear-based, right to my medical doctors. And I think people should go there first anyway. I think you need to find out what you're dealing with. You need to get a name for it. You need to get a... figure out what it is. And when it was finally diagnosed as rheumatoid arthritis, and I went along, you know, I tried to do what they told me. But when the meds got stronger and I didn't get better, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, somebody who's a quick study and a self-starter and, you know, an impatient.
Right.
I was not happy with my care, and so I just said, I'm just going to try something else. So I was lucky, Richard. I was lucky because I think the way I did it, a lot of people aren't necessarily instantly disciplined to do the things you're supposed to do yourself. I don't think they have the courage always to just jump out into the wilderness and look for answers. And going through that five different times, and this was over a course of about 20 years, first was the allergies, and then was the RA, and then was the psoriasis, and then the leukemia, and then the hyperthyroidism. But with each one of them, I used the same methodology, and I began to see a pattern. And that's what prompted me to write this book, because this book is really what I consider the first holistic healing handbook. It kind of tells you when to zig and zag, what to expect when you enter a holistic healing journey, what it feels like, where you go, how you find answers, how you know whether it works or not, all the things you'd ask a good friend. That's what the book does not prescribe. It doesn't tell you to eat broccoli three times a day. It doesn't tell you, but it tells you how to be open to receive, what those messages look like, and what the steps are that you need to take to make sure that you get to where you're going.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly grateful for your doing just that, putting this compendium together so that people, and it's not a big book, it's an easy read, and you can go through and find the things that you need. Now, there are a lot of different things that people suggest, and we can go down lists of, you know, herbs and vitamins and supplements and other types of modality. You mentioned acupuncture in particular, is there acupressure, and again, the list goes on. There's one in particular that everybody seems to mention, without exception, that it's not the cure, but it gives you the guidance. Meditation. Tell me about that.
Well, meditation was the first thing I learned, and I didn't know I was meditating for 10 years or more.
So you were doing it, didn't even know it.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Wow.
But what I did do with the rheumatoid arthritis, and remember, this was excruciating pain, I learned at the beginning that if I wanted my immune system to heal, then I couldn't do its work for it. I had to take all of the drugs away and allow my body to rebuild itself and slowly heal on its own and get strong enough to where it could do its job. So I didn't take anti-inflammatory drugs. I didn't take things for the pain. And the pain was unbelievable. So I found when my mind was busy, the pain intensified. And that's what biofeedback is, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And when my mind was quiet, I could sometimes separate the feeling of the knowledge of that it was pain from the actual feeling, and I could make it stop. Now, didn't stop for more than a second or two, but when it's hurting that bad, that's enough to let your body rest and to have some kind of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at every night, every time I'd get attacks, I would be so still, and I would keep my mind so still, that eventually, over time, after 10 years of this, there was nothing going on. I mean, I'm sort of a blonde 24/7. You know, I'm not thinking much at all. And it is amazing when your head isn't filled with all kinds of things, how you can stay in the present moment, how you can be more at peace, how you can be more realistic about your stress levels and stressors, and how you can learn to receive. So your own intuitive power becomes much stronger when you're not cluttered with your own noise.
Interesting.
So whether you meditate through mantras or through just quieting the mind and pushing those thoughts aside, or however you do it, Richard, I would do it in the car. You don't have to have your eyes shut and sit in a lotus position, you know.
Right.
You can just keep your mind blank. And as thoughts pop in, you just keep pushing them out, and eventually they aren't there anymore. So most of the time, I'm pretty pretty clear.
Now, your health today is give us an update.
Well, actually, my health has been extraordinary up until this fall, and I developed some silly kind of thing. So I'm challenged with another thing, totally different,
okay.
You know, a brand new deal.
Right.
But this one is one of those weird megavirus things.
Okay.
That I don't even know where it came from, but I had massive, massive, massive levels of it, and it manifested in lots of inflammation in my body, which I could feel, and gut issues that were very disheartening, and a bunch of other things. And when they ran, and again, my MD, when MDs ran the viral panels and found this extraordinarily high level of megavirus, I began doing again vitamin C IVs and some other alternative things to get a handle on that and to help my body recover. Because some of these things are resistant to antibiotics, resistant
right.
to, you know, all kinds of drugs. And so if you're not creative and not thinking outside the box, they'll get you.
Well, now, if your immune system is running and active, and I'm going to use the term evolving, mm-hmm. i.e. you continue to strengthen it and it gets stronger and stronger, mm-hmm. then wouldn't, let's say, the normal immune system under those parameters be able to fight off just about
yes.
anything?
Yes, yes, it would. Except, now you've got to remember here, here's the big X factor, and this is the X factor in everybody's life.
Okay.
And that's stress, and that's toxins, environmental issues. So I happen to have fallen into, you know, the economy the last few years has not been the swiftest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's put tremendous stress on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those. I mean, it truly, truly affected me. And then I really was putting a business together that is part of this. My whole purpose in life for the rest of it is to open the doors for alternative options for people and make the whole process less frightening. That's what I'm all about. And whether I do this on a one-on-one just because people are inspired by either my story or how well I do, or whether it's through books or speaking or whatever, that's kind of what I'm about. Well, I had an idea for an extraordinary business, and I really put aside other work-related things. And I'm now a senior, let's be clear. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken. And so I can't jump back into the business that I did years ago and do it again. My heart isn't even in it anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
your passions change and all those things.
Sure.
So I need to supplement my income, and this particular business would have done that, and it would be extraordinary globally for opening up this whole world for people. But it required raising money. Now, you try to raise money the last 2.5 years in this economy, and I have a lot of people who were willing to do things, but I'll tell you, they were paralyzed. So I basically fiddled around here for 2 years when I really should have done more and put myself under tremendous financial pressure. And then because I'm a little bit of a helper, I found that I wanted to help other people. I'm writing business plans and doing things for others and not doing my own stuff. And that's a big weakness. You know, you begin to think you're self-destructive. I mean, indestructible.
Yeah.
And you just go off and start reliving your old life and worrying about everybody else and not yourself. And eventually that catches up to you. So I had 12, 15 years of glorious health, and then I started to get more stressed and more tired, and you do that over a period of about 2 years. In the mid-60s, it doesn't take long for your body to remember that this is not the way it's supposed to be, and it will give you signals.
Yes.
So this was my big signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you usually teach what you have to learn, you know, Richard. So,
I hate
so
that.
I'm busy learning my own teaching
yes,
again. And I'm doing very well, and
oh,
I'll
good.
Probably be fine, but it'll be another 3 or 4 months before
sure.
this is totally gone.
But what it says to all of us is that this is an ongoing process, and basically you were able to work through the 5 challenges that brought you to this place where we are talking today, and in addition to that, you've peeled away more and more layers of the proverbial onion to reveal mm-hmm. more stuff that you have to deal with. But that's
absolutely,
that's...
and I have to giggle. A couple of my friends just laugh. I mean, this virus could kill somebody,
yeah.
and they're laughing, saying, "Oh, Sandy, it's just your 6th mountain." You know. Well, I thought, well, for goodness sake.
Well, let me ask you before we wrap up the program, and we hope that we can continue the joy and the laughter in both our lives and the lives of those who are listening. A couple of quick questions that I like to pose to my guests before we wrap up the program.
Okay.
Number one is, who is Sandy Cowan?
Well, Sandy Cowan's a helper. I have always taken it upon myself to try to make life easier for people. And even when I had my ad agency and PR firm, most people in that business, they get a client, keep a client spending, and that's the way you make money. Sandy got the client and said, how can I help? And it was all about getting results. That's all we cared about. And so I'm purpose-driven, have always been, and I don't really want to quit that. And I think as we get older, we need to continue to do what our gifts are. And I think since I learned by doing, the only way I could ever teach this stuff is because I went through it.
Yeah.
But it certainly isn't because I read it somewhere or somebody told me, you
right.
know, Richard. So I've had sort of an interesting, challenging life. But it's all been for a purpose, and I'm very content with that.
Yeah, and even though you've probably answered this question in the long form throughout the program, I'll put it to you in the short form. Why
okay.
this? Why now?
Well, my life, if I go back to the 80s, I have been working on my health and wellness and healing on all levels for 30 years or more. And that isn't, it's a continuing saga. It doesn't just quit. You know, you're not all at once totally healthy and well. And, I mean, life goes on, experiences continue, things break down as you get a little older. And so it's ongoing. So why here, why now? It's forever.
Yeah. Well, we thank you so much for sharing your story as well as your book, Get Well Even When You've Been Told You Can't, Simple Steps for Finding Perfect Healing Using Methods Outside of Conventional Medicine. Sandy Cowan, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you much success and good health.
Thank you.
Okay. And people can get a hold of your book through your website, which is?
SandyCowan.com, C-O-W-E-N, SandyCowan.com, or through Amazon, or any major bookstore can order it.
Great. And again, we are linked to your website, so people can go to richarddugan.com and they can click on the link, and it'll take you straight to the sandycowan.com website, and you can check out all of the wonderful information and guidance and support. And people can get in touch with you via email if they have questions and concerns.
Absolutely. And they can do that on the site as well.
Terrific. Well, we encourage you to do that. And Sandy, I thank you so much for joining us again on the program. We look forward to having you back again. Is there anything in the works for the near future?
Well, in the short term, I'm just going to finish up my own personal thing here for probably another 2 or 3 months. And then after that, I do workshops and I speak, you know, here and there. And I've got 3 other books in various stages. So we'll just see how they...
Well, great.
How they come together, how quickly they come together.
Well,
let's put it that way.
When they do come together, you give us a call and we'll talk further about it on the program.
Richard, you are a joy. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on the program. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And I hope one of those is good health. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, I'm Richard Dugan. Love to all.